Okay, we're continuing from last week, where we finished with the three psukim in Kuf Tet Vav in Tehillim, which are Yisrael Batach Ba'Hashem, Ezra Mimagino Hu, Beit Aharon Bitchu Ba'Hashem, Ezra Umaginam Hu, and Yirei Hashem Bitchu Ba'Hashem, Ezra Umaginam Hu. So the word that comes out in a sense, and greets you in each of the three psukim is the word batach or bitchu, right? As in Yisrael batach and Beit Aharon bitchu and Yirei Hashem bitchu. So this is the concept of bitachon. Okay, what in fact is bitachon, and how does bitachon differ from emunah? And it's a good question, because as we're going to see in one of our readings quite shortly, very, very often people use the words interchangeably. And the words mean very different things.
Can you have one without the other?
Yes. A person, it would go like this. A person could have emunah and not have bitachon. But a person could not have bitachon without emunah. Let's talk about what that means. So, basically, if we're going to look in the broadest sense, what we're going to find is that emunah is essentially faith. Emunah is faith. And bitachon is trust. So you can't have bitachon, right, which is trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, unless you first have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So does that answer your question? Okay.
Does that work with people too?
I'm sorry?
Does that work with people too? Like, can you trust a person with faith, but you can't have a faith in a person without trust?
Well, what we're going to see in Rav Soloveitchik's formulation is that you never can have faith in a person at all. We're going to see that.
Not even a spouse?
Not in a human being. We're going to see why when we go a little bit further. Okay? We'll see. I mean, that's one of the things that needs to be explored. So right now, if you go to the page that's attached to last week's material, we have something from Or Shimshon. Okay, and you can see what it is. It's Torah vignettes dedicated to the memory of Gaon HaRav Shimshon David Pinchas, who is a person involved extensively with Musar, and fairly contemporary to us. He passed in 2001.
Okay. He was very young when he passed away.
Yes, he was. Okay. And what we're going to see here is material that was put together by a fellow's name is Judah Gutwein. And with my emendations to, in a sense, clarify and emphasize some of the ideas. So first of all, what is the meaning of emunah? What is the meaning of bitachon? Okay, so first idea, I already mentioned a moment ago. Now, Rav Matisyahu Solomon, who is the Mashgiach Ruchani in Lakewood, explains the difference this way. Emunah is a concept or a theory. So you asked me before, could you have one without the other? And yeah, you could have a theoretical connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? But as Rav Solomon said, bitachon is emunah in action. Okay, it's a very big difference. Okay, or it's the application of emunah in your daily life and actions. So therefore, you could be a baal emunah, but not be a baal bitachon, which is, I think, the answer that I gave you a little bit earlier. Whereas the opposite is not possible. If you're going to have bitachon, if you're going to be a baal bitachon, you can also be about emunah, because emunah must be prior to bitachon. Okay. Now, you go down to the bottom of the page. So what is trust? And that's, after all, one of the things that we're looking at, because Yisrael batach b'Hashem, okay, beit Aharon bitchu b'Hashem. So the emphasis there, really, in the psukim that we're looking at, is on bitachon, is on trust. Okay, so Rav Pinchas Zatzal spent a lot of time discussing what bitachon is and how it's realistically applied. Now, here's a very important idea here. He maintained that it would be a fallacy that you would say bitachon means that in the case of clear and present danger, that you could, in a sense, say, quote-unquote, Hashem will provide. No. The bitachon is a sense, perhaps, that you'll act like Nachshon ben Aminadav, that you'll do everything humanly possible. And what would then be the stance of bitachon? So the stance of bitachon is, I'm going to do everything I possibly can, and I have trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help me be successful. He'll help me have Hatzlacha. Okay?
So then why do we say Ani Ma'amin Be'emuna Shalema Ana and Bitachon Shalema?
Because all the Ani Ma'amins deal specifically with Emunah. That's why. They deal with faith. They're not dealing with the application of faith per se. So what they really are different ways of our understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what all the Ani Ma'amins are. Okay? So they're not statements of trust. They're not statements of emunah in action. But if you want to understand as much as we can as human beings, okay, what is the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's what Ani Ma'amin refers to. Okay? And the Yud Gimel Ikarim or the Rambam in general. That's Ani Ma'amin. Okay? But even like, for example, in modern Hebrew, Hayim Ata Tavo Elai Hayom Ken Olo Betach Habibi Ani Avo. Okay? Are you coming to me today or not?
I believe I am.
For sure I am. Betach. Right? A person would never say, okay, religious and not religious, if you're speaking modern Hebrew, they would never say, Ani ma'amin sha'ani avo hayom. No, you won't say that. Right? You say, Betach ani avo. Okay? And then if a person would be religious, they would say, Bli neder. Okay? So, again, people don't speak in terms of faith about themselves or about others. And we'll see why as we go further. So, it's interesting. So, Rav Shimshon said this. I'm in the second paragraph on the first sheet. He said, and again, I left this in, some of the wording here is the original wording. Some of it I've changed so that we'd be able to understand it a little bit better. Not that it was complicated, but it was written to a certain extent in a Yiddishized English. So I sort of made it a little bit more Englishy, if you will. Okay. Okay. So what do we have? So, quote, it's not so pashut at all. Right? This is Yeshivasha Lashon, right? It's not so simple at all, the severity of the problems we face. So you notice I left it in its original terminology. What would we say? The problems that we face are severe and not simple. Okay, but I left it so you get a sense of that he was really saying this. In fact, proper bitachon dictates that one should be fully aware of the clear and present danger that he's facing. Okay, and not just stand there or sit there and say, Hashem will provide. Okay, you can recognize that appropriate fear may be used as a conduit. It's a good word in this case. The in other words, if a person's afraid for really legitimate reasons, then what you can do is that you do everything you can, and then you have bitachon okay, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help your plan succeed, okay? But to deny that fear is present, to deny that it's a bad situation, to deny that something might even be, we're adults, so we know what we're talking about here, something could even be horrible. It could be really terrible. All of us have experienced such things in our lives, okay? But to deny that, you know, to sit there and go, it's not really terrible, and Hashem's going to take care of everything, and I'm, you know, that is probably not real bitachon. To say that things are really difficult, and we're between a rock and a hard place, and I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to look for the best doctor who's going to be the best shaliach, and I have trust that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help that person be the best shaliach and help Ploni ben Ploni. I don't want to obviously mention my own family. Okay, so that's legitimate bitachon. Okay, but to deny it, it would not be.
That's something that happens when you say Gamzul Tova.
Right, we say Gamzul Tova because there's a Gemara. Gemara in Brachot says that we have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And we have to be Mevarech HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al HaTov V'Al Hara. Okay? That's what we need to do. Okay? Because really, everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then again, what do we know? What appears today to be bad might really, in the longer range, be good. And vice versa. What appears to be terrific. I'll give you an example. Every one of us would certainly benefit from suddenly having, $50 million. None of us would say that would be a bad idea. Right?
Unless it changes us.
Okay, well, so here's the thing. There have been many, many, many studies done on the lottery winners. Okay, so they won $100 million. And as you already know, when you win $100 million, you give half of it away immediately to the government. So you're left with $50 million. Okay? They've done studies on these people. You know, in the vast majority of them, okay, when asked, okay, after having this money for a significant period of time, are you happier now than you were before? You know, what would you have thought the answer would be? For sure, 100%, yeah, this is great, this is... Many of them, however, say, no.
Person wants money and that person wants it.
I'm miserable, okay? There was a line once, I don't know if you guys ever heard of the group Blood, Sweat, and Tears?
The band, yeah.
Okay, so the band. So they had a line that always stuck with me. Quote, when you have money, you have lots of friends, end quote. Okay? So, it may not be so wonderful. And in fact, I don't know if you've noticed, it's an expression of one of my grandkids, have you noticed that in all these cases where somebody wins one of these mega million type of things, they don't run down and collect it. What do? First thing they do is they get a lawyer. Right? Have you ever noticed that?
Yes.
First thing you do is they get a lawyer. Okay. So, at any rate, the important thing is that, as Hindi noted, yep, even when there's something that is bad or appears bad, we do say Gamzu L'Tova. And that, by the way, is emunah, that we believe that that's okay. And then when we act on it by saying Gamzu L'Tova, and we really mean it, that's bitachon. Okay? Bitachon is amunah in practice. Okay? It's one way of looking at it. Okay?
You can't just sit there and say, okay, I'm not going out to the grocery store, but God will put my food on my table. I'm just going to sit here and it's going to come down from the sky.
Exactly.
I mean,
correct. Okay.
You have to have.
But that's why I mentioned Nachshon before, right? Basically, the image that I always get until Nachshon did what he did is that basically Klal Yisrael is sitting around, you know, having theoretical debates. Okay? What do you think we should do? I don't know. What do you think we should do? Okay? And then, and Moshe, what does Moshe do? If you remember when we did the Shira, Moshe starts davening. And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Now is the time for action. Okay? And as soon as Moshe says, okay, now is the time for action. Well, he wasn't the first one to jump in. It was Nachshon. And as you all know, since you're little kids, he goes up to his neck. And then, but that's bitachon, okay, spurred on by emunah, if I ever heard of it. Okay? So if you look at the very last part, he says, this then is our job when we are tasked with becoming ba'alei bitachon. We must train ourselves to actually apply our belief system, or emunah, and if you see any of the brackets, it's my writing, so that it's transformed into bitachon in Hashem. Okay? So if you want, by the way, imagine that I had a blackboard, and yes, you can tell for many years I was a teacher, okay, in a classroom. Imagine you have a blackboard. So over here is emunah. Okay? And you get closer and closer as you move to the other pole to bitachon. So sometimes you can't really get to bitachon. Okay, for example, let's go back to the Yud Gimel Ikarim. I believe the perfect faith of Kadosh Baruch Hu is absolute unity. Okay? How do you put that into practice? So in the 21st century, most of us would say, well, gee, you know, I don't have any way of demonstrating that. Okay, well, there is tefillah, but when you say Shema, is that really a demonstration of bitachon? Or is that a demonstration of emunah? I'd say it's more emunah, which is how we explained it. But unfortunately, how many times in Jewish history did people have to act, right, and demonstrate that their emunah was not just lip service? Okay? Hanevim yavim. Okay, so that's the first sheet I want to share with you. The next sheet looks like this. Sheet 2, which has the words emunah and bitachon. Does everyone have that?
Yes.
Okay. Emunah and bitachon is something that was sent to me by Naomi, who unfortunately isn't here. And this particular page, I put through a lot of editing, so it would be pretty clear. And we have another take initially on what is emunah and what is bitachon. So the writer here wrote, someone once explained the difference between emunah and bitachon. He said that emunah is the act and stance of knowing that whatever situation you're in is from Hashem. So that's in consonance with what we just saw. That is what you and I would call in simple terms, belief. Correct? Mm-hmm. Bitachon is being completely and utterly at peace, knowing that the situation you are in is exactly where the Eibishter, you've never ever heard me say Eibishter, so you know that it's from here, okay, exactly what Hashem wants you to be in, because it's the best thing for you. Very difficult.
But that's really hard to do, because if you're in really a bad place, how can you say, well, this is where Hashem wants me? You don't feel like that.
You okay. Hashem to take you out of it.
Right. Right. You don't say, correct, okay, I'm here for a reason, but how long do I have to be in this situation?
Okay. So why did I'm very glad you asked your question. Why do I have this following what we just did? Because I wanted you to ask those questions. In other words, we have what's become known today in modern terms as Big Tent Judaism. Theologically, there's a lot of different things that fit under the legitimate rubric of what you and I call Torah and Mitzvot. This is an approach. Okay? Is it necessarily the one that you want to latch onto? If you're more comfortable with the first, you don't have to latch on to this. But it is another kind of approach. Okay? Now, the rest of it I'll leave for you to read. Let's go to my Rebbe. And as you might suspect, this is where I, this is what the page looks like. This is where I have the greatest comfort of all of them. I find the definitional structure that we looked at on the first sheet, okay, I think that's really very good. Emunah is theory, and I believe that bitachon is practice, okay, which fits into classic 19th century continental, primarily German philosophy, where there's a difference between theory and practice, okay? That's where the terms come from. They originally were even in the German. So it makes a lot of sense to me. Now, what this is a page that I was able to get a picture of. I don't own the Sefer, but some of you may know that you can look things up, and once in a while Google, quite often, basically what they did is they Xeroxed pages of almost every book that's in print. Okay, so you don't have, even if you don't have the Sefer or the book, sometimes you can be really lucky and you can get a screen print, okay, if you know the right way to do it, of that page, which is what this is. This is from Rabbi Saul Weiss. He attended the Shi'ur in 1977 that was given before the RCA. And it's a pretty powerful paragraphs here that I really want to share with you. And this is what I mentioned earlier. Faith in God, not in man. Okay? So in other words, you can have emunah in Hashem, but not in a human being. And why is that the case? Okay? So let's just go right to the sentence. It says, the Torah has confidence in man. So by the way, the initials here are going to be CTF, confidence, trust, and faith. So the first one, confidence. Can you have confidence in a person? Absolutely so. Okay? So let's take something really benign in terms of the big scheme of things, because it deals with a problem that can be solved through money. So any problem can be solved through money, as long as the money is at least reasonably available, isn't such a problem. I think we'd all agree. Okay? So why do you choose one mechanic for your car over another mechanic for your car? Simple is you have confidence that the mechanic you're giving your car to is going to be able to fix it. So from a Torah perspective, it's fine to have confidence in a person. Okay? And in fact, as the Rav says, the Torah has confidence in man and does not want us to assume that the others are lying. Okay? So in fact, what that's called within the world of halacha is cheskat kashrut. Everyone, until proven otherwise, has a cheskat kashrut, a chazaka, that they're not a liar. Okay? That's how it is. In other words, somebody comes into a Jewish court and the assumption is that he, she is an honest individual until proven otherwise. So far, so good?
Innocent until proven guilty.
Correct. Okay, very much like what we would call an American law. But here what we're saying is the testimony that they're going to give, unless we have clear and present knowledge as to otherwise, we're going to assume is accurate. That's the assumption. Now, you ready? This is something that's worth underlining. Nevertheless, we must never have faith in man. Why? It ascribes to him absolute integrity. Now, the key here is not so much the word integrity. What's the key? It's the adjective, absolute. Man can't be absolute anything. It isn't possible. Okay? It's not possible.
It's only for God. It's only
correct. For God. Why? Because absolute deals with that which is infinite. Okay? So now if you're looking at the CTF, confidence in man, yes. Faith in man, never. because emunah is reserved for kutcher bricho. Now, all right, that's very, very important. What about the idea of bitachon? So let's go to the next paragraph. Judaism warned us about the absolutization of man. In other words, don't take man and turn him into a godlike entity. By the way, there's a fancy Greek word for that. It's called apotheosis. It means taking that which is not God and ascribing godlike characteristics to that individual. Because in the word apotheosis is the word theo. It means making that godlike which is not God. That's what it is. Excuse?
What about an apothecary? Isn't that the same?
Not at all, because it's not T-H-E-O, which means theo.
Oh,
okay, theo, which means God in Greek. So Judaism warned us about the absolutization of man. Never use the expression, I have faith in him. Mm-hmm. Right? So again, in the CTF, never can have faith in man. Confidence, yes. Trust, perhaps. Perhaps.
Wow, how did that, I have faith in you, always, how did it get so so slippery on our tongues, and why do we just like hand it out?
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. Right?
Because I hear it all the time. I mean, I hear it at work.
Because everyone. You've never...
With kids especially.
Exactly.
You say, oh, I have faith that my kid's not going to make his bed today.
Right. But what are they really saying? They're saying, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
They're not saying faith, but it's again, a very misused term.
Exactly.
So look what he says here. Confidence, yes. Trust, perhaps. But faith, never. Mm-hmm. Faith only applies to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not only that, most of us have parents that when they were alive, grew up during the time of Roosevelt. And to find a Jew during World War II and immediately prior to World War II, right, who didn't think that Roosevelt was the greatest thing in the world since breathing on a regular basis was almost impossible. So, says the Rav, absolute faith in man is idolatry. The Rav cited the extraordinary affection American Jews had for Roosevelt, which bordered on idolatry. Okay? And then he goes on the next page, he says, and that's why we never challenged Roosevelt during World War II. And for that, we're guilty. Yes, go ahead.
But aren't there people who have like extraordinary affection to other people, like to Lubavitcher Rebbe? I mean, you wouldn't call that idolatry, but yet they had an extraordinary affection.
Okay, so you ready for this?
Some people.
Okay, this is true, and of course I will not use names for obvious reasons, and you'll know why as soon as I tell you what I was told. It's during the 1970s, okay, and I was somewhere in New Jersey. That's so you guys will have a lot of trouble beginning to figure out what's going on. Okay, and a particular woman said to me, quote, David, I have so much and so many problems having emunah in Hashem, but the Rebbe, I have emunah in the Rebbe. Quote, unquote. Okay?
She sees... I guess she sees the person doing something for her, but not
qualities.
I'm not agreeing with her.
Right.
I'm just saying that. But I could also see a point that I can see he's giving me a dollar. I
sure.
God giving me a dollar. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you do actually.
Well, because God gave him the dollar, and then he gave me the dollar.
You do because if.
Because it has a fucking David on it.
If you're wearing clothes and you're eating on a relatively regular basis, me'et Hashem, hayet hazot. It's from everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the point is that, and by the way, historically, so do not misunderstand what I'm about to tell you. I'm talking about historically. One of the problems at a certain point in the Hasidic movement. I'm not saying it's present today, but this is one of the reasons that you had the Mitnagdim being so upset with the Hasidim, because at a certain point in time, there was a tremendous emphasis on what you might almost call Rebbe worship.
Right.
Okay? And the idea that the Rebbe was between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is truly and honestly certainly not a mainstream idea within Judaism, and certainly does not fit into what we would call normative theology.
That wasn't necessarily so regarding the Rav or a Rebbe or any other great Talmud Chacham or scholar. Sometimes it's us that are looking for so much more that we put a whole different, a whole different aura toward that person.
Right, and that's one of the reasons why what we're doing is so important. Mm-hmm. We see how incredibly, inappropriate, and that's the very least that would be.
It's kind of like a bizarre charisma.
Yes. Okay, well, look, there's no doubt there are people with tremendous charisma.
Of course.
But
you're making a good point. But the, our need.
Right. But that doesn't mean, right, that we're ma'amin in them. Mm-hmm. So again, just so the takeaway, so to speak, the bullet points here. So when Rav Soloveitchik is saying, just in summary, in terms of the CTF idea, confidence in man is appropriate. Okay, trust in man, it depends, and we're going to see. I'm going to quote a few psukim, and you'll see why that's problematic. Okay, faith in man, never. Now the same David HaMelech, who is writing here, Yisrael batach b'Hashem, Beit Aaron bidchu b'Hashem, and Yirei Hashem bidchu b'Hashem. Same David HaMelech said in Kuf Mem Vav Gimel. In Tehillim, and this is a pasuk that you all know, right? Al tiftechu b'nedivim. Don't trust in princes. You ready? Ben adam she'ein lo teshua. In a human being who does not have salvation. Okay? So that's why, if we go back to our Tehillim, look what it says. Yisrael batach b'Hashem, Ezra b'maginam hu. Beit Aaron bidchu b'Hashem, right? And last but not least, Yirei Hashem bidchu b'Hashem. It's always Hashem focus. In other words, emunah is reserved for Hashem. Bitachon in the main, okay, trust, right, should be reserved for Hashem, with rare exceptions. So, should you ideally trust your spouse? Yes, I would say yes. And in fact, most psychologists would tell you that one of the major measures of the intimacy of the relationship is a degree of trust that obtains. Okay, very, very important.
Thing, you fell back and see if the person would catch you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Bad college days.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I think concussions were there that
people, especially young people, do these sorts of things. I'm not sure that necessarily, as we get a little bit older, that makes a lot of sense. But that's a different conversation.
Or maybe that's why we don't have sense anymore.
Okay.
Because we did that.
Yep. Now, it's interesting. There is one pasuk in all of Tanakh, where the word emunah and bitachon, in the sense of ta'aminu and tiftachu, is found. And it's found in Micha. What does Micha say? Al ta'aminu re'ah, bi're'ah. Don't believe in your friend. Right there. Okay, so the Rav's idea could very easily, not that the Rav quoted Micha, very easily there. And not only that, al tiftechu ba'aluf, and don't trust in a prince. So when Micha says don't trust in a prince, isn't that a direct parallel to what David HaMelech already said. And the part about don't believe in a friend, okay, it's not, you know, although that's emunah, it's not radically dissimilar from what David HaMelech said, b'ven adam shein lo teshua. Okay, so sof kol sof, I guess to bring everything into a summary so we can walk away and have something meaningful as a takeaway, okay? I would go with this idea that emunah is a stance, it's a theological position of believing in Kutcher Brichu. Bitachon is what we call in modern terminology the actualization, putting into practice what we believe, okay? And then the confidence would be something else entirely. Number one. Number two, you can have confidence in man. On occasion, you can have trust in man, but you can never, according to Micha, according to Rav Soloveitchik as well, you can never have emunah in man. Because it's dealing with absolutes. Yes, your question was?
No, that's why Chaim Salomon had said on the dollar bill, not only is there a Mogen David, but in God we trust, because he's the only one we can trust.
Right. Just to lighten it up just a little bit, yeah. I always love the signs in stores, especially if you're traveling through little villages. In God we trust. Everyone else pay
that was
cash.
Over my husband's death. Okay.
So you must have liked that as well. Okay. So let's see if we can finish up the last psukim. So everyone. So that was the front. The very back looks like that. Okay. So now the difference between the first 11 psukim and the last, let's see, last six psukim is that whenever we say Hallel, we say Hashem Zicharanu Yevarech, right? And Yevarech at Beit Yisrael, and we sing it. Anytime we say Hallel. Whereas the first part was only if we're Gomrim et HaHallel, right? So these last six psukim we're very familiar with, okay? So, interestingly enough, Hashem, all right, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Zacharnu, okay, who remembered us. So I encountered that,
us.
Right? But it's in the past, isn't it? So
You forgot us?
Well, and of course, he would never forget us. So you remember what I've always said. I think I've said this a number of times. When we say that Vayizkor Elokim, okay, for example, Yizkor Elokim et Noach, Hashem remembered Noach. So, you know, you really feel like being a Borscht Belt Jewish comedian. No, he forgot, right? Which, of course, is not possible. Okay, so what does it mean? So you notice, again, the Lashon is Vayizkor Elokim. So Elohim is related to Shakai. Space, die. It's sufficient. So Vayizkor Elohim doesn't mean that until this moment he forgot, but now the din is that, you know what? Now we're going to put Hashem is saying, now my cognizance is going to be put into practice. Not that, God forbid, so to speak, he forgot. But now, until now, it's enough. 210 years in Mitzrayim were enough. In fact, that's where the pasuk that I'm going to quote is from. If you go to Sefer Shmot, Bet Chavdalid, okay, the pasuk says, Vayishma Elokim et Na'akatan. Remember that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard their moaning, their groaning. Okay, we're not talking about, oh, it's so hot, oh, it's so cold. We're talking about misery. Okay? And what's the very next word? Vayizkor Elokim et Brito et Avraham et Yitzchak v'et Yaakov. So, again, did he forget? No. But now, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say?
He'll come through with
life. Exactly. Now it's time for implementation. Okay, that's what Vayizkor means. So, Hashem Zacharnu, the same Hashem who remembered us in the past. Okay? Yivarech, bless. Okay? In the present, going into the future. And who should be blessed? So fascinatingly, by the way, I'm very honest with what I'm about to say. I never put, I don't know why, but I didn't put two and two together. If you look at the order here, it's Yivarech et Beit Yisrael, Yivarech et Beit Aharon, and then Yivarech et, right, Yirei Hashem. Well, what would, if you just turn the page back, what was the order of who's trusting on a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Yisrael batach Hashem, Beit Aharon bitchuv Hashem. Yirei Hashem bitchuv. So guess what? We're, in a sense, we're going to receive a bracha for being botchei Hashem, for trusting in Hashem. And what's the, and it's, that's what we're now being told. Okay? So Yivarech et Beit Yisrael for their bitachon. Yivarech et Beit Aharon for their bitachon. Yivarech Yirei Hashem, okay, for their bitachon. It fits